Penguin Audio presents Burning Bright, written by Tracy Chevalier, read by Jill Tanner. Part 1. March 1792. Chapter 1. There was something humiliating about waiting in a cart on a busy London street, with all your possessions stacked around you, on show to the curious public. Jem Kellaway sat by a tower of Windsor chairs his father had made for the family years ago, and watched aghast as passers-by openly inspected the cart's contents. He was not used to seeing so many strangers at once. The appearance of one in their Dorsetshire village would be an event discussed for days after, and to being so exposed to their attention and scrutiny. He hunkered back among the family belongings, trying to make himself less conspicuous. A wiry boy with a narrow face, deep-set blue eyes, and sandy fair hair that curled below his ears, Jem was not one to draw attention to himself, and people peered more often at his family's belongings than at him. A couple even stopped and handled items as if they were at a barrow, squeezing pears to see which was ripest. The woman fingering the hem of a nightdress that poked out of a split bag. The man picking up one of Thomas Kellaway's saws and testing its teeth for sharpness. Even when Jem shouted, "Hey!" he took his time setting it back down. Apart from the chairs, much of the cart was filled with the tools of Jem's father's trade. Wooden hoops, used to bend wood for the arms and backs of the Windsor chairs he specialised in, a dismantled lathe for turning chair legs, and a selection of saws, axes, chisels and augers. Indeed, Thomas Kellaway's tools took up so much room that the Kellaways had had to take turns walking alongside the cart for the week it took to get from Piddletrentide to London. The cart they had travelled in, driven by Mr. Smart, a local Piddle Valley man with an unexpected sense of adventure, was halted in front of Astley's Amphitheatre. Thomas Kellaway had had only a vague notion of where to find Philip Astley, and no idea of how big London really was, thinking he could stand in the middle of it and see the amphitheatre where Astley's circus performed, the way he might back in Dorchester. Luckily for them, Astley's circus was well known in London, and they were quickly directed to the large building at the end of Westminster Bridge, with its round, peaked wooden roof and front entrance adorned with four columns. An enormous white flag flying from the top of the roof read "Astley's" in red on one side and "Amphitheatre" in black on the other. Ignoring the curious people on the street as best he could, Jem fixed his eyes instead on the nearby river, which Mr. Smart had decided to wander along. "To see a bit of London!" and on Westminster Bridge, which arched over the water and ran into the distant mass of square towers and spires of Westminster Abbey. None of the rivers Jem knew in Dorset, the Frome, the size of a country lane, the Piddle, a mere rivulet he could easily jump across, bore any resemblance to the Thames, a broad channel of rocking, choppy green-brown water pulled back and forth by the distant tide of the sea. Both river and bridge were clogged with traffic, boats on the Thames, carriages, carts, and pedestrians on the bridge. Jem had never seen so many people at once, even on market day in Dorchester, and was so distracted by the sight of so much movement that he could take in little detail. Though tempted to get down from the cart and join Mr. Smart at the water's edge, he didn't dare leave Maisie and his mother. Maisie Kellaway was gazing about in bewilderment and flapping a handkerchief at her face.
"Lord, it's hot for March," she said. "It weren't this hot back home, were it, Jem?"
"It'll be cooler tomorrow," Jem promised. Although Maisie was 2 years older...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?